Hello and welcome to Full Time. It's been a long winter break, but now we're back. I'm Dale Lockhart, and this is Colin Miller.
Hello, today we're here and we've got an action-packed schedule for you. We're here to talk about the Luis Suarez, Patrice Evra scandal and how it's going to affect the game. We've also got a lot of stuff about the England job, who's going to be the next manager after Fabio Capello's resignation. We'll have a roundup of the local football. We'll also discuss the downfall of Glenn Torn. And we'll also go on to rugby. We'll talk about the start of the Six Nations and how it's affected Ireland in particular. And then we're going to go on to Ulster and their new manager. Who's it going to be? Is it right to get rid of McLaughlin? And also about a few new signings possibly coming back to Ulster. So we've got an action-packed schedule for you, and I hope you enjoy it.
So first, Luis Suarez refused to shake Patrice Evra's hand. How do you feel as a Man United fan, Colin?
Well, I think the whole scandal, really, it started, and Liverpool just haven't helped themselves at all. The PR has been terrible. Like, whenever Suarez was found guilty, I mean, I don't understand why they continually backed him and continually said he shouldn't have been banned, because it really put a bad image for what is, it pains me to say it, but they're a great club, you know, Liverpool, and they're huge. And having a racist allegation labelled against them, and for that to stick and for them to condone it, I think it was very poor. And also, it culminated on Saturday with Suarez not shaking Evra's hand. I don't know why that happened. And it continued throughout the game. There's a lot of bad feeling between the players. And on Sunday, they did issue apologies, both Suarez for the lack of a handshake and Dalglish for his post-match interview, which I think both are welcome, but I don't think both are enough, because I don't think either are going to last too much longer at Liverpool in the current climate, especially after the American owners seemingly intervening in those apologies and obviously influencing how it's going, because they do fear for the club if that was to continue.
It didn't seem like much of an apology as in way of apologising for being racist in the comment, but more as for the handshake. Do you think that Suarez, he doesn't seem to regret anything?
Yeah, it's bizarre that he has apologised for a handshake or a lack of a handshake, but not apologised for being convicted of racist abuse. But that's, I mean, the apology's welcome, but it's the whole thing's just bizarre. And I think Suarez is a problem for Liverpool, and they're going to have to find out a way of dealing with it, because it is damaging them at the minute.
What do you think about them actually backing Luis Suarez? Liverpool is a club, wearing the T-shirts and...
Well, it's obvious that a club is going to back their player, you know, and it was fair enough what they were saying before he was convicted, because it did seem like they had evidence to prove otherwise, you know, and that he was innocent and he didn't do anything. But that wasn't the case, and the wearing of the T-shirts, I mean, it was poor. I don't understand what they were thinking, because Suarez was wearing one himself, and it just looked ridiculous. It just looked ridiculous, you know. But I think it's obvious that they defended him and that they supported him. I don't think they needed to go out of their way with the T-shirts. I think it was very bad PR.
Well, he's obviously convinced that he didn't do anything wrong and didn't mean to offend.
Yeah, I mean, that was the defence, is that he comes from Uruguay, and it's not a problem there. But I mean, he's not in Uruguay, he's in England. He's been here for, what, over a year now? He was in Holland for a good few years before that. He should know. And, well, hopefully he learns from it, but I think it'll be too late, unfortunately.
But what about Patrice Evra? How do you think he reacted in the game?
Well, firstly, I thought it was good that Evra went to shake his hand, and he did go to shake his hand. But obviously Suarez's refusal to return it was obviously affected him. Obviously 15 seconds into the game, he went to go and take out Suarez with a tackle. Basically, he was clearly wound up. He's the sort of player that does get wound up. And that was basically why Suarez, I think, was abusing him at the start in the first game, because Evra was on a booking. He was trying to get Evra to react and get sent off. He's not a racist, but that's what happened. And again, at the end of the match on Saturday, Evra's got his emotions. He got carried away, but that's what happens in a football pitch, especially when the stakes are so high.
It's sad to see, though, because Evra will probably be fine now.
Maybe. I don't know.
He incited the crowd. He incited any trouble in the tunnels.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened in the tunnel. There's a few reports in the papers today about alleged bidding. I don't know how true that is. If the newspapers are just trying to sell copies or what, but it was bad. I've never really seen anything like that in a good while in the Premiership anyway. So But yeah, I think both sets of players let themselves down, but it was all sparked off at the start by the handshake, in my opinion.
Well, racism seems to be plaguing the English game, and now John Terry's lost the captaincy. Fabio Capello's defended him and seems to have walked out of the England job. Who do you think's going to move in there?
Well, Harry Redknapp is the obvious choice being put throughout the media. I can't see any other Englishmen who are particularly standout candidates. Obviously, Redknapp's done a great job at Tottenham. He's got them going places, maybe even a title this year, who knows. He'll definitely stay until the end of the year for Tottenham, up until May, but whether he stays beyond that, I'm unsure. He's already stated that both jobs, full-time, isn't an option, so he's got a big decision coming up. But I don't. As for Capello's resignation, I'm not sure why he resigned. I think he was looking for a way out. He already sacked Terry as captain before over the Wayne Bridge affair, and he seemed to be quite rigid in his support for Terry this time around. But I think it's for the best for England if that decision was taken. But Capello obviously didn't agree, and he seemed to stick to his principles.
See, to be honest, Colin, I think it's kind of like a sinking ship, the England team. They can't do anything right. If Harry takes that job, like, the English fans love him right now, but how long would that last for? They'll end up getting beat in a random match, say, against Andorra, a team the likes of that, and then the fans will get at him, and then all his credibility will go down the tube. So
it's a thankless job, the England job. I mean, I think a lot of the fans overestimate how well they're going to do. I think, at best, England are a quarter-final side, and then they would meet the likes of Spain, Germany, Brazil, Holland in the World Cup, and like technically they're better players, their squad are fitter, and they prepared better for the championships. England are expected to qualify with ease for every tournament, but it's the same old story time and time again. I personally think Harry Redknapp should stay at Tottenham, but his whole life really he's aspired to be England manager, and this is maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity, so I think he will take it, unfortunately, but I do think it won't be a particularly fairy tale story, you know.
I'd say Martin O'Neill would probably be a better bet as a manager, but England seem to be jumping on the "he has to be English" bandwagon.
Yeah,
the fans have said since Capello, they didn't really like him not being able to speak English to the team in the dressing room.
Yeah, Capello's sort of rigid, disciplining approach, it didn't really pay off for England. But I don't know, maybe I always thought Goose Hiddink would have been a good shout. He's left Russia, Turkey, and he's available now, so he's proved he's a top-class international manager, but they do look like they've set their hearts on somebody who's English and homegrown.
And what about the captain? A lot of names being thrown into the mix. Scott Parker, yeah. Steven Gerrard, as always, he's in there.
Scott Parker would personally be my choice, but England haven't even played him regularly in their team over the past couple of years, Steven Gerrard, but his form for England has never been convincing, and even for his club it hasn't been great over the past year. Rooney's has touted himself as well, but there's a couple, but there's no standout candidates. Some people have also said Joe Hart, but a lot of people are against the idea of having a goalkeeper as their captain, they don't think he'll be able to command the team well enough from the position, obviously, but it's hard because nobody even really knows what England's strongest team is at the minute, so how can you pick a captain? It's tricky.
Well, the only position that's like cemented in there is either Wayne Rooney's or Joe Hart's. I personally think Joe Hart should get the captaincy.
Yeah.
Like Iker Casillas at Real Madrid, he runs the show down there, like, and he's able to command the whole defence, and
yeah,
that adds on to the midfield. Obviously, he takes control of the whole field.
Yeah,
and Joe Hart's guaranteed to be that England keeper for at least 10 years. He's in a league of his own right now.
He's a superb talent, and I do think he's a great goalkeeper. I'm not overly keen on having a goalkeeper as captain myself, but it has worked on occasions. If it would work with him, I don't know. But, well, Wayne Rooney probably won't, mainly because he's suspended for the first two games of the Championship, so they'd really want somebody who was going to be playing in every match. But other than them two, it's really hard to pick out a regular from that team. It's been chopped and changed so much with form and injuries, and it's going to be a big ask for whoever does step up to the plate to lead his team out, because it'll be a tough tournament for them, especially under a new regime.
Well, thanks for that, Colin. Now on the local football, it was a big weekend in Northern Ireland, Irish Cup weekend.
Yeah, it was. Last 16 stage of the competition. A big upset at Donegal Celtic on Friday night. They beat Cliftonville, who are one of the cup favourites there. And so they beat them 1-0, 10 men for each side. Feisty match, but there you go. And Linfield beat Carrick Rangers 5-1. That was a more expected result. And Coleraine beat Ballin Mallard 3-0. Ballymena, they were losing 1-0 to Derry Cricket Club at halftime.
Could have been a big upset there.
Yeah, but
the second innings proved a bit more successful. For Ballymena, they ran out 3-1 winners, and also Crusaders notched up a 4-0 victory at struggling Glenavon, of course. So,
What about the draw for next round? Who you got who?
The big tie is Coleraine against Crusaders. They're probably two of the biggest teams left in it now. Obviously, Linfield are the favourites, the cup holders, having drawn against junior side, either Coke United or New Buildings, and they played out a 1-1 draw there at the weekend. And Dungannon played Donegal Celtic, and Ballymena are playing Uri. So I think with a few of the bigger names out of the competition, it's wide open this year. Linfield are obviously favourites, but I think Coleraine, Crusaders will fancy themselves, whoever wins that tie. And Ballymena as well, they've gone about 30 years without a trophy, so
yeah.
they're desperate for success.
Who do you fancy for the cup?
Yeah, I've got to say Linfield. Got to be favourites.
As always. I personally fancy New Buildings. The shock.
A few upsets.
No, I'd say Crusaders. Crusaders are a great cup team, I'd say. After winning the League Cup, they can... Yep.
Lost the final last year, of course. They'll be out for revenge anyway.
Yep, that's it. So what about Glentoran? They were in action in the Setanta Cup. How'd they do?
They beat Bray Wonders 4-2 away. Bray are a sort of lower mid-table League of Ireland team. It was a tricky enough tie, but Glentoran, they gave debut to the Leon Knight. Controversial striker signed from Coleraine there during the January transfer window. He's notched a brace, and they have a couple of others as well, and that's a good win for them. It's over two legs, but they should see it out at home, and it's a lot of relief for a club which is in turmoil, really. I mean, without a manager, financial problems. Dale, what do you think about it? Well, what direction are they going at the minute?
Yeah, well, in terms of the Setanta Cup, we should hold on. We've got four away goals now, so hopefully we'll be able to push on through there. Try and get the money in through that tournament, because it's not coming in anywhere else. They've lost everything in terms of fans. The fans don't want to go watch them anymore. You can't really blame them, because the football's not being played properly on the park. They're not being entertained. They're charging, say, £10 in their match. And in these times, it's hard to get the money going in the families, never mind having to pay for yourself and your two kids to go watch the match, say. It's just not good at board level either. They don't seem to be making any decisions that the fans want them to make.
Well, they've got a big decision coming up. Who'll the next manager be? There's been a few names touted about. Obviously, Eddie Patterson and Roy Walker have emerged as the two favourites, but there's a couple other ones as well from the mainland. So, is there anybody you think would do a particularly good job or would be a popular appointment?
The highest name one I heard was Stephen Craigan. I can't see that happening. I think he'll stay at Motherwell and concentrate on coaching in Scotland in the future. Personally, I'd say Eddie Patterson, because he won't take any nonsense from the players. He won't take any nonsense for the board. He'll do his job the Glen men want them to lead by example. Hopefully not the way he did at Cliftonville and get sent off all the time, but they want a manager out there who's going to control the team and play the football that the Glen men know that they can play.
Eddie Patterson, obviously famed for quite attractive football at Cliftonville on a limited budget. Obviously Glentoran, he might have more resources available, but I think he'd be the right appointment for them. But I'm not convinced that it will happen realistically. I mean, I think Roy Walker is a big shout, despite his feelings at Ballymena and Glenavon in the past decade. But I mean, it's a really big appointment for Glentoran. They've messed it up three or four times in a row now. Series of poor appointments, so...
Well, I think that's why it's taken so long. We really do want to make the proper decision. We've done everything properly the right way now by the application process, so hopefully they break it down and get the right man for the job to lead Glentoran forward, because this, as a Glentoran fan personally, it's the worst season I've ever seen.
Is there anything even left to play for this season, though?
It's Tanta Cup. We're going to win it.
You think so, do you?
Sure, you'll say Linfield will win it.
Stick a cheeky tenner on it anyway.
So while we're on football, two big stories today. The Wolves lost their manager, Mick McCarthy, sacked after the 5-1 defeat at West Brom yesterday. And we just heard the news that Rangers could be going into administration at the end of the week. What do you think of these two big stories, Colin?
Firstly, the Mick McCarthy story. The Wolves obviously got beat 5-1 there by West Brom, who are their rivals. They were outplayed by them by large parts. They've lost four games in a row now. They're in the relegation zone, and it is looking really tough that they're going to stay up. The board have taken the decision that Mick McCarthy isn't the man who will keep them up. So they obviously maybe have somebody lined up. There's been a few names going about. Steve Bruce is one. Neil Warnock, Alan Kirbishley. But it's hard to say at the minute. But the way things are going, it's not looking good for them. And a poor run has really cost McCarthy his job.
They are a bit of a yo-yo side, though. They have been up and down the past couple of seasons quite a bit. Do you think any manager could keep them up this season?
It's possible. There's five teams down there, three of which are obviously going to go down. There's Wigan, Bolton, Blackburn, Wolves and QPR. It'll be three from them. QPR have got the players, but they haven't gelled yet. Blackburn are starting to pick up some good form. Bolton were up until the weekend. It's going to be a dogfight, but Wolves, they've been in the league a few years now, but I don't really see enough quality in their team to keep them up this year. Unfortunately, I think they'll be away, and the sackings come too late.
Yeah, and the other breaking news today was that Rangers could be going into administration. They've applied to go into administration by the end of the week. I don't really know what to make of this because they were waiting on the tax man getting back about the court case.
Yeah, it's a sorry sight, really. I mean, Rangers are obviously a great club with a great history. Three league titles in a row and they're in administration, possibly. So, if that was to occur, they would be deducted 10 points in the league, which would end any hope of a trophy this season, well, as a league, certainly.
Neil Lennon Celtic side, they've won 18 in the trot now. So
yeah, it's looking pretty ominous in that front anyway. But Rangers, they have been run very, very poorly for the past 10 years, even more. They had a number of marquee signings about 10 years ago and they really couldn't afford to do that. And they've paid the price big time over the past few years. Walter Smith did a great job, three titles in a row on a shoestring budget. Ali McCoist has come in, he may be a bit out of his depth, but the performance has been really poor, the results have been really poor, and now the administration's the icing on the cake. It is looking grim, but hopefully things will pick up, because it's never nice to see any club in that situation, and there's been a few in the past couple of years, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, bad times at Ibrox for Rangers, but now onto the rugby. In Ireland, after the last week's defeat to Wales in the first game of the Six Nations, they went to France and things didn't go to plan, did they, Helen?
No, it was about, 5 or 10 minutes before kickoff, the game was called off. I mean, it's the first time a Six Nations match has been called off in a quarter of a century, which tells you a lot, that those temperatures just weren't expected in France. The authorities didn't prepare the pitch in the correct way, and it's really a travesty for anybody who travelled over there from Ireland. You know, a whole couple of days booked off, and the match tickets bought, and the game's called off. I mean, what can you do about that? So close to kick-off as well. But it would have been a fantastic game as well between two good sides. Very evenly matched, I think. But
something you don't usually see in rugby.
Yeah.
It's more of a football game.
I think it was just due to a risk of players being injured on frozen pitch. But as I was saying, I don't think they prepared the pitch properly. So it's perhaps a blunder by the authorities. But it's what's happened. And it's obviously going to affect the likes of Ulster, Munster and Leinster, all the regional teams. After, because their players will obviously be away for an international match in one of the coming weekends, whenever their club will have a match on, so it has a knock-on effect.
Well, it's definitely not what Ireland would have wanted after last week's 23-21 defeat to Wales in the first game. What do you think of last week's game? It was very back and forth. Seemed they changed five times. And
yeah, it really was two good teams playing against each other, and it was a great match to watch, really. But unfortunately for Ireland, they just lost it right at the end. And, you know, Wales, it's no shame to lose to Wales, but they'll be disappointed in the manner in which they lost it, especially with the Ferris penalty.
Yeah, Ireland fans feel robbed a wee bit after the Ferris tackle.
Yeah, it was a poor decision, definitely. But, I mean, those things happen in all sports, and you just have to get over them, really. But obviously, it's very disappointing for Ireland that they didn't get the opportunity to bounce back, and now they're going to have to wait an extra fortnight. So, their hopes don't look good for this tournament, but you never know. They could pull off a win in France and a win in England and get their campaign back on track.
Well, the tries for Ireland last Saturday were scored by Rory Best and that man Tommy Bow. A lot of talk about him this week, come back to Ulster.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, he plays over for the Ospreys over in Wales at the minute. He's a great player, obviously an Ireland regular, and Ulster, they need all the good players they can get. They've got a very good, promising young squad at the minute, and he'll add that good bit of experience to the back line. They've also bringing back another old boy, Roger Wilson from Northampton, the number 8. So it's good to see that they're attracting the players that previously left, maybe in slightly darker times for Ulster and for rugby, but now when they're finally back on track and the players are interested in playing and they've got the money available to offer these players contracts, and they're now thinking that obviously the knockout stages of the Heineken Cup every year should be what they're aiming for, and that's what they're achieving at the minute.
Well, that's a big shout there, because They've got the last 2 years, they've got to the Heineken Cup quarterfinals, and now they've sacked, well, the vast Brian McLaughlin's stand down.
Yeah, that's right. He's moving to everyone in the academy, I think. But it came as a bit of a surprise, but I mean, the argument obviously is that Ulster have the squad, that they should be doing what he has achieved in Europe. Maybe in the Celtic League, he hasn't made his team perform quite as well as the level they could have reached. But there was a few rumours going about that there was maybe a bit of discontent between him and the players. Maybe they didn't like his coaching methods particularly, and obviously a decision has been made based on something, probably behind the scenes, to remove him from his post. But I haven't really heard who might be coming in to replace him, but hopefully for Ulster it's the right appointment, because it's a big time for them.
Well, there was a lot of rumours going about Ravenhill on Friday night, but didn't stop the Ulster players from delivering on the pitch. They defeated the Newport Dragons 30-12, and the bonus point try from Ter Blanche in the last minute got the fans a bit excited up there.
Yeah, it's a very strong home record this season for Ulster, and it was another fine win on Friday night there. And again, a number of impressive performances. And really, it's all about sort of gearing up now for the quarterfinal in Europe, away to Munster, isn't it?
Yeah, so away to Munster.
They've got that's a tough game. It's obviously a big rivalry. But I think Ulster can sneak that and can progress. But their league form is certainly encouraging over the past few months.
Well, thanks very much for that, Colin. And that's us for another week on Full Time. Thanks very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again next week.
Bye-bye.